Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Something we, most of us, learned at probably in our earlier years of life, and you know, we taught this to our children. It was taught to me as a child. I watch my adult children who have children of their own. I watch them teach this. I watch it happen around the church. It's, you know, teaching children, you know, to say, I'm sorry. Right? I watch, you know, you march them over. Now, say you're sorry. Tell them you're sorry for bashing them in the head with that toy. Right? You haven't volunteered in the nursery? Yeah, go get a dose. Or the toddlers, right? Yeah. Say you're sorry. Right? Say it. Say it. Say it. And then you want to appear to be like a good parent. So it's like, we'll be right back. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about when we make an apology to somebody. There's several things that can happen, but two very powerful aspects that I want to mention this morning as we move our way along, you know, from this little lesson that we teach children that are it's supposed to impact us for the rest of our life, right? I won't have you raise hands in here about how many of you have difficulty going and saying, I'm sorry. You know, the words are powerful. You know, I've watched different things throughout my life and observed them just like you. Sometimes somebody's sorry and they don't say it, but they just show up with a cup of coffee and set it by you. This is not my wife. Okay. They set it by you. Right? I've heard the stories, you know, when my grandma and grandpa maybe had a little tiff and he'd go out in the garage and she's in the house and she'd show up a little later with a cup of coffee out in the garage. And whatever went on, they worked it out. And, you know, there's different ways we kind of show it, but, you know, the words still matter. You know, that teaching us, teaching children, you know, teaches us, and doing that whole I'm sorry is supposed to, you know, to some degree teach us responsibility, right? The admitting that I did something wrong, showing some, teaching a lesson of humility, teaching a lesson that people are important. Relationships with people are important. And for us who are believers, you know, I'm going to tell you something, that your reputation matters. Amen. Because if we have a profession in Christ, our life should follow suit. Now, we know that we're going to make mistakes and still sin, and I think in reality, those who are not believers, I don't think they have the expectation really that we're supposed to be perfect, but that we know how to take responsibility and to make amends and to be able to say, I'm sorry, that our reputation matters for the sake of the gospel. That even though they see flaws in us and sin operate from time to time, they also need to see humility and repentance and responsibility, right? And I want you to know that those words, "I am sorry," can teach, raise awareness throughout our life, and be a powerful example to each other, but also to those who live outside the household of faith at this point in their life. We also know that just saying the words, that's not enough. Because we can throw out "I'm sorry" over and over and over and over and all the time. And it just becomes noise. Unless it's matched up with something. So I want to talk to you this morning about apology. That it can do two powerful things. Or it can also just do damage when we just say "I'm sorry" and there's no change and there's no repair. We can do the words, and without repair, we still leave a mess behind us. I want us to look at this. You know, the scripture says a lot about when we have been wronged, what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to deal with it. It gives us a lot of instruction about that. It doesn't actually give us a lot of instruction on apologies. It's a lot about when we've been wronged, how we're supposed to deal with that and overcome it. If we need to confront the person, you'll find it in Matthew 18 and other places. And I may touch on that this morning. We'll see how that goes. But I want us to talk a lot about the whole apology and "I am sorry." You see, I am sorry can bring relief, but it's also supposed to bring repair. Relief in the sense of this, that we can go, we know we need to say "I'm sorry," we know we wronged somebody, we're totally aware of it, we offended them, they were rightfully offended, okay? It's not like, you know, we did something, they got offended, and there was no offense to really be taken. Because you and I understand this. There are individuals, okay, who struggle with being offended. Okay, we all have opportunity to be offended. All of us, we have opportunity. Some struggle with it more than others. Some of it to do with their past, right? Maybe how they were raised, how they've been hurt, the absence of a good thing or healthy thing in their life and relationship along the way, some broken relationship, whatever it is, certain things they were told by friends or strangers or whoever, authorities in their life, whatever it is. We know that we all have opportunity, but there are some because of the past, and this does not give them license, by the way. This is not, if it's you, it doesn't give you license then to just be offended. "Well, I was hurt here, so therefore you have to understand that I'm offended by what you said or did because of my past, and you have to pay for the crime." That's not acceptable. Not acceptable thinking when we break it down. And there are those who, you know, for whatever reason, they're just more critical, more negative. The glass is always more than half empty, however you want to put it. They just are, maybe we can use the word judgmental. Whatever it is, their natural tendency is that they're easily offended. And these people, I just want you to know that when those traits are in us readily, some of those things are on a list in the studies and different articles of those are people who are hard to get along with. And I think there's an acceptable question for us to ask each other. Am I acceptable in the realm to get along with. Because there has to be a connection between that and the character of Christ. That if people are going to be offended, they need to be offended for the right reasons. Many were offended at Jesus. Many of us have been offended at his word because it offends my flesh. It offends my natural tendencies that are not godly. Those are good and rightful reasons for us to be offended. But the issue is us. The issue is not Jesus. And sometimes in our life, people take offense at things that we had no intention, but because of their view of life, okay, they are easily offended. They are not acquainted with, maybe, scriptures like in Proverbs 19, verse 11, where it says, a wise person knows how to overlook an offense. Overlook, in other words, we fly a little higher than the offense that tried to take us out at the knees. And we don't allow it to become a record and track and keep going over it in our mind of how we've been offended. A wise person knows how to overlook an offense. It's actually to their glory, as Scripture would say. And they just don't allow it to ensnare them, their mind, emotional energy, attitude within, that somebody has done something wrong to us. And we have to work through a process. But when we start to develop the pattern and we become more like Christ, there's just this flight pattern that we take that, you know, we know how to overlook a lot of offenses. And once you know, it's a great thing. It's a powerful thing. And our apology, when we're doing the offending, I want us to remember these two words. And going forward, I'd like you to remember them in the practice of your life. Relief and repair. The relief is, I said I'm sorry, I didn't want to do it, but now it's over with. You see, prior to that, we were struggling. You and I could be struggling with, I need to humble myself and go say I'm sorry. I do not like to do that. I don't want to do that. It's the admitting I was wrong. It's humbling myself before this person who, you know, I don't even necessarily agree with over something or whatever is unfolded. Or maybe it's a person you don't really care for. Whatever it is, we can come up with all kinds of reasons to have apprehension to go to the person and say, I am sorry. But it's bothering you. Eats you up. Keeps you up at night. It's always playing in the track in the back of your mind. I know I need to. I know I should. Sometimes we just let time pass away and we think, well, it's old news now. If I just struggle with it long enough, it will eventually leave me alone. And then we get to the point where we just say, I am sorry. And it brings relief to us. It doesn't guarantee repair. You see, you and I can come and finally just say, I'm sorry, or say it real briefly, I'm sorry. Or you're a person who's, well, I don't really like to talk about feelings and all those kind of things, and you know, blah, 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 blah. Well, you have feelings, so you know what? You have to be accountable for them. And it's not too late. So we bring a lot of relief to ourselves when we say, I'm sorry. I want you to see this played out in a context of a man and God. I want us to recall King David. And in Psalm 32, which is just a great chapter in the book of Psalm, I want you to listen to this progression and what David went through, okay? Because he owed an apology. And ultimately, the apology was to God. But I want you to listen to this. Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Now listen to what he says. For when I kept silent, not saying I'm sorry, not addressing the issue, not going to go there, whether it's pride, arrogance, whatever it is. They just said, you know, for I kept silent. And David says, when I kept silent, this is what was going on. My bones wasted away. Now, in the context of bones, sometimes in the Hebrew language in the Old Testament, bone or bones equate to the soul of a person, okay? But we also know that when we carry something internally and it creates anxiety, stress, a wrestling for us, it also can affect our body. We are wonderfully and intricately made. You know, only God can divide asunder between soul and spirit. You know, this body, soul, and spirit, this one person that we are, you know, we're very much connected. If we want to put it in everyday terms, you know, King David could have just wrote, he said, you know, my cortisol levels rose. That's what anxiety and stress and worry and hiding stuff and guilt, it affects our physical body, right? And I'm not talking about cortisol in the sense that we just get a little heftier, we put on a little weight. It's all the things that go along with that. And out of the root of that, there's a lot of ailments that start to show themselves. David is struggling. He's saying, listen, while I kept silent, I was struggling. I was wrestling. We don't know if it's, you know, his soul was just vexed and oppressed and depressed, and it just affected everything he did. Maybe it spilled out and affected relationships around him. These are the things that we observe in our own life. We just know that David said, you know, I kept silent about this. I didn't confess to God. I didn't say I'm sorry. And it bothered me to the point that I was so stubborn against opening my mouth to God or giving an apology. It says this, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. Now we know what it is to groan physically. I don't know if your soul ever groaned because of what it's going through. Have you been so plagued with something that physically you've groaned? I groan a little from time to time, but it's usually just getting up off a chair and starting out, right? Yeah. Listen to what's going on in David. He's talking about what's going on in his body, what's going on in his soul. All because he would not confess and come to God and say, I'm sorry. I want you to know that's on the vertical relationship. It's no different. The principle is no different than on this horizontal relationship where you and I have relationship with one another. And when you and I have trouble here, there's also trouble this way with him and us. Things are out of order. Things aren't right. We're bucking against the spirit. We're bucking against what we know to be right and true. And it's tough to say, I'm sorry, when we know that we have done something that's out of place. You know, I watched my sister, Raylene, who's a few years younger than me, I watched her struggle even as a child to say, I'm sorry. Me, I didn't. I didn't really do anything wrong. As a kid, if she's watching, hey, sis, I'm just making fun. Yeah. Listen. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. In other words, this is an issue with God. This is an issue with God and us. Whether it's us apologizing to him or us apologizing to somebody else, his hand will be heavy upon us because he wants it to be right. He does not want your offense to count against you. And I'm not going to go into all the reasons. But he doesn't want this to count against you. And he doesn't want it to rob you from good and healthy, clean life. He doesn't want the additional unnecessary things to plague your soul. So his hand, his spirit was heavy upon David. Maybe you've experienced this in your life when you have withheld and you've hung on to some sin or whatever is going on in your life that you know that you need to confess and change. And it starts to sap you of strength. Watch this. He says, "For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." You ever been out there in the heat? You ever have heat stroke? "I acknowledged my sin to you." Oh, David got to the place. "I acknowledge my sin to you." It means he came into agreement with God. He says, "I didn't cover my iniquity," because I got a tip for you. God already sees it. He already knows it. "I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you, God, forgave me. I confessed it to you. The whole I'm sorry part. The whole I forgive you. And won't count that against you anymore." And God could lift his hand of heaviness, the Spirit's conviction off of his life, off of ours. That healing can come. And sleep can come. And we can breathe again. And health restored to our bones, to our soul, to our body. All because of three powerful words. "I am sorry." Now, it wasn't just the words. Because "I am sorry" can just show up and say, "Brought relief to me. I said it there. It's over." Well, it's not necessarily over for them. Now, we aren't totally accountable for how they process and do all this. You know, we do this whole "I'm sorry" and we walk away, and yet we've just left this rubble, this damage, this bruise, whatever it is, to this person to deal with. And they have a responsibility in it. But here's the part of the "I'm sorry" that David puts into action. He goes beyond just bringing relief to his soul and his body. And his whole person, he brings relief by confessing and saying, "I'm sorry." But he repairs the relationship. See, the "I'm sorry" can bring relief for us. But the goal here is about the relationship. And what do I need to do to repair this? God is always about reconciliation. It's about restitution. It's about repairing things. It's all the beautiful R words. Right? And so there has to be something that moves us beyond just the "I'm sorry" that brings relief to me. Ah, I said it. It's over. It's about repairing the relationship. If we were to move further, into Matthew 18, where it talks about when somebody offends you, you should go to them. Now, let me just pause here and say, you know, there's a way for us to deal with being offended that has nothing to do with us going to them. It's just that if you can't work through this, you can go talk to them. And you're supposed to, you and I, according to Matthew 18, you're supposed to go privately. You're not supposed to talk about it with a bunch of people and build your camp and go talk to them. But you go talk to them. You talk to them about defense or in the context of this, that they've sinned against you. And Matthew 18, Jesus gives these instructions. Here's the part that we miss. I think that we don't necessarily want to talk to them, but a lot of people, they want to go talk to them. You hurt me, you did this, you said this, and in behind you, building up, is they need to know. And they need to be called to account. And after all, maybe they're a Christian. They need to know that Christians don't do that. And I'm going to go to them and I'm going to, you know, they owe me. Because they hurt me. They damaged me. Okay. Here's the interesting part. In verse 17 of Matthew 18, it says something really interesting. It says, if you go to them and you work this out and they're receptive, it says this. You have gained a brother. You see, doing this, it's not about the offense, and it's not about the sin. It's about right relationship. When we make it about the sin, we make it about the offense, I want you to know that you can follow the spiritual pattern, but if you make it about the sin, you make it about the offense, you make it about the apology, you make it about they owe you, or they just somebody finally needs to tell them, and it's going to be me. If we go with that stuff, though you're following the instruction, you're missing the point. It's about restoring a relationship that's damaged. That's the point of the passage. You see, Peter comes to Jesus in Matthew 18. You can read it. He says, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody? Brendan, how many times am I supposed to forgive somebody who just keeps hurting me? And, yeah, a lot, yeah. Jesus says, I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times. Now, I want you to know, Jesus is not giving a math equation. This is not a math problem. It's not a math issue. And so put your ledger away of how many times somebody hurts you. Put it away. It is not a record. It's not a ledger. It's not a math thing. It's not adding it up and keeping track. Jesus is using the number, not seven, because seven we know has to do with, you know, God's number, perfection, fullness, and you can look up the different definitions. So sometimes in the scripture, numbers mean just the number, and sometimes the number means something else. It's an example, a parallel of what that number means. It would be like, you saw Brandon back when you were, you know, kind of teenager. You saw him, you saw Brandon, and you went, oh, he's a 10. It was not a math equation. It meant, oh, he's perfect. And then you married him. Found out he's a 7.2 on a good day. No, I'm kidding. Don't worry. They all figure it out eventually. Right? It means something. So that number of that perfection and complete and fullness and, you know, all of that, Jesus is 70. He's like, he says, that perfection times 10. It's like God is holy, right? But the scripture on occasion says, holy, holy, holy. You can't get holier than just holy, but God, we just tell him, you're three times holy. See? So Jesus is using this. And he says, hey, it's not seven times. It's 70. Then Jesus tells a parable about somebody couldn't pay their debt. And so they went in and they were forgiven. And then that person who was forgiven goes out and found somebody else who owed them. And then they demanded to be paid. Jesus tells a story where now that person who was forgiven is brought back in, and now they still owe the debt, and they were put in jail till everything was paid in full. You see, that's how God forgives you and I. Because he's about the relationship with you and I. Romans says it. Sin separates us from God. We're at enmity with him. But he sent Jesus to pay for our sins, that we would be forgiven. And now, the rightful thing is to forgive others. You don't need an apology from somebody to forgive them. You don't need it. Overlook an offense. Do your soul a favor. Let the Lord keep the books. He knows how to do it. Vengeance is His. It's not ours. But that person, they deserve. I hope that they, now we're wishing bad things on them. Whoa, you need to arrest. We need to arrest ourselves. And when we are the one who does the offending, we have to remember it's about the relationship. And that person's important. And if you have built a pattern with somebody close to you that you know that you've hurt them, you know that you do hurt them, you know, and you've never said sorry, and you know what? Maybe they've just overlooked the offenses. It appears. Or they've worked through it. Forgiveness has been given to you. Maybe don't fall into the pattern saying, I've gotten away with it. Obviously, they're okay with it. Therefore, I don't have to humble myself. It's about right relationship with the Lord, and it's about right relationship with people. Scripture says, do the best you can to live at peace with everybody. Now, some people, they're just not interested in that. But you know what? You're responsible for you. You are not responsible for their attitude and the total outcome. We are just supposed to be faithful with our part. Amen. Stand to your feet, please. In the book of James, it says, confess your sins one to another, that you would pray for one another, that you would be healed. Now, we often take that in the context there only to mean that if we confess our sin, have someone pray for us, then we will be healed. Now put it in the context of, I am sorry. We come and confess what we did that hurt, damaged. We come and say, I'm sorry. And now we want to repair, not just bring relief to our own soul, but repair. That you pray for one another, that you would be healed. Damage gone. Destruction gone. And that the grace and the mercy of the Lord. Please don't walk out of here this morning or stand out in the parking lot and just wait, thinking they're coming out of church. I'm going to be out here invisible because they know they should apologize to me. Oh, you missed the point. You can still have relationship without an apology. After all, many of you are still married to each other. Many of you are still friends with each other. This isn't about expectation we put on other people. This is about the standard that we put upon ourselves, given to us by the grace and the mercy and the words of life that come from God about our relationship with Him and our relationship with one another. Be gracious with one another. New Testament instructs us to just bear with one another. With our flaws and all of that. But when we're aware of something, let us take initiative to to bring relief to our soul, but to bring repair in relationship with one another. Maybe you hear this morning, you think, oh man, I have got a past full of this. Listen, don't walk under guilt. Make right what you need to make right. If there's too much and too many to go and just solve all of this and pray for a grace and mercy, yeah, Papa, isn't that great? A grandchild calling out to Papa. God bless you today, Phil. Yeah. Taste of that grace and mercy that's been given to you and be able to give it to others. If you've got too much in the past, you feel like you can't fix it all, listen, His blood is enough. Let Him direct you as the opportunities that are before you, some that you have to take, some that come your way. And just, you know what? Be a light. Be a light. His kindness. Listen, I'm sure you've done it too. I've even gone to the extent at different times in my life and made an apology to somebody that, frankly, in clear conscience, I really didn't do anything wrong. But for the sake of relationship, I'm sorry. When you give your I'm sorry, let it be an apology, not an explanation. We start many of explanations to justify what we did or said to a person with the words, I'm sorry, but that day I was blah, 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 and I was tired, and I was this, and I went through that, and I just wasn't myself. Oh, yes, you were. Oh, yes, I was. Don't give the explanation. Because none of it's going to justify. I mean, you know, you've had those apologies. I'm sorry. But, and then there comes the explanation. You said this, I did this, I felt this, I had this going on, I had that going on. I'm sorry. No, 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 no. I'm sorry. You're important to me. Sorry I didn't treat you that way. I want things to be okay between us. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.